Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everybody. It is the Biscuits Podcast, or it's Biscuits, colon, a hockey podcast. I am Dave Lozo of many, many publications that do not employ me full time, but employ me enough that allow me to do podcasts like this. And I'm not alone, just like you're not alone.
Hey, everyone. It's Sean up in Ottawa. I am also employed by many places, and let's talk some hockey.
So Pekka Rinne is good again, I guess.
Yeah, this is good because this is like a special midweek edition of the podcast because we didn't want to record on Thursday when there was a game Thursday night. So it's been like 5 days since the last time we talked. And the last time we talked, the series was 2-0. Pekka Rinne was terrible. And we were wondering whether this episode was going to be the season wrap-up episode because we were going to be done. And instead, it's 2-2 and we've got ourselves a series.
It's amazing how through two games, the issue was, is Pekka Rinne going to be terrible again? Or is he just going to be just good enough to win? And in game three, he was just good enough to win. He was fine. I don't think he did too much. Game four, it really wasn't about shot quantity. It was about shot quality. There was the Crosby breakaway that got past him. The Crosby breakaway stopped. The Kunitz breakaway. And somehow, some way, and Sean, this is the part that really baffled me about games three and four, is Jake Guentzel, the greatest hockey player in playoff hockey history, the front runner for the Conn Smythe in game four, I will say he got teed up for at least three empty net tap-ins that he failed to convert. And then there was the fourth one on the second Crosby breakaway that Rinne stopped, where the puck sat in the crease with Rinne basically covering 4% of the net, and Jake Guentzel could not figure out a way to navigate that for another one of his goals. And I got to tell you, as somebody that has grown up idolizing Jake Guentzel as an American-born player, that was heartbreaking to watch. I wonder if he's still the Conn Smythe favorite.
He's
going
to have to answer for that at his Conn Smythe press conference, because that was it. That was the Dino Cicerelli record right there. That record for rookie goals that we all totally knew belonged to Dino Cicerelli before, like a week ago.
Always talked about that.
We grew up, you know, who's going to break Dino's record someday? And that is, I got to say, it is, you know, I'm not on the Jake Guentzel Conn Smythe bandwagon, but it is pretty, anytime you can be approaching a goals record from like 1982, that's pretty impressive, because that's...
Yeah, it's impressive that he plays with Sidney Crosby. Yeah, it's really impressive that he's...
Maybe has a little bit to do with it.
Oh, speaking of the Conn Smythe, should we tell the people what the PHWA tried to do with the Conn Smythe? So, you're part of the PHWA too, right? You're in that group. You had the votes. So he got the email. So Mark Spector is the, I don't know, president of email. I have no idea what it is, but whenever you get an email from the PHWA, it comes right from Spec, and it's like a BCC. It goes to the whole entire PHWA. And in the email, it basically stated that there were enough people in the PHWA who wanted the PHWA to go to the National Hockey League and ask them if we were allowed to, the 15 people who vote on it, if they were allowed to, on their three-spot ballot, use one of the spots for two guys, i.e. Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury. So in theory, a lot of people wanted to basically vote, one, Fleury slash Murray, two, Guentzel, three, whoever. And the NHL was like, no, you idiots, you can't do that. you can't just decide to do this just because there's no good Canadians to vote for. You can't just like chop it. It's not the bicycle on Seinfeld where you're going to chop it in half and give half to Newman and give half to or give half to Kramer and give half to Elaine. You have to actually vote for somebody. And then Dave Molinari tweeted out incorrectly, of course, just to make us look even worse, that the NHL said that we can't vote for the same people at the same position, i.e. like we can't vote two centers on the same. No, it's not that. The rule is that you cannot take first place, vote, you know, Evgeny Malkin first, and then in the second spot, vote Murray Fleury. But the point is that there is enough support for that idea that somebody actually went to the NHL to try to get it done. In other words, anyone but Malkin has been taken to the most utmost insanely weird bad places, and so here we are.
And we've been rejected. Yeah, the whole, like, I mean, we talked about this a little last week because it was Elliot Friedman was the first one I heard suggested, and basically I guess they ran it up the flagpole and the league said you can have a tie for the Conn Smythe, but it has to be a tie. You can't vote for a tie. You have to have so basically, like, if they want to do this now, it's like Survivor. They have to get, like, they have to arrange the vote for the tie vote, and then somebody will screw it up and vote for the wrong guy, and like Marc-Andre Fleury will win the Conn Smythe without playing a minute of the final or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, it was that. Yeah, we all got like ripped because this one guy tweets out that, like, misunderstood, because what the league said was you can't have two guys at the same position, meaning two guys the same position on your ballot. You get one guy first, one guy second, one guy third, and somehow that led to you can't have two players at the same position. And you know, nobody made any jokes about the PHWA knowing what position guys play. That never happened. We certainly aren't wide open to those punchlines.
Yeah, that email did not help us at all. When I saw the email from Spec, I kind of felt like that was just for us. Like, I never thought to tweet that out because I kind of thought it was embarrassing that people really wanted to do that with Fleury and Murray. I didn't want anybody to kind of know. And then, you know, it felt like a private email that I'm not necessarily sure I would have tweeted out anyway. But that's our organization, Sean. That's what it's like inside the
the
walls.
I didn't like the idea of voting that way. I guess it doesn't hurt to just kind of go like, "Hey, is this something we can do?" But we got our answer, and there will be no intentionally split vote on the Conn Smythe. And now, I mean, if Nashville wins, we're back to Rene, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I guess. Like, there's no other. Somebody made a good point that, like, even though PK Subban's not going to finish with like point per game or anything, like, he's been so good defensively for four rounds that maybe he should be higher up in the conversation. And yeah, sure, I get that. But I mean, it's so hard to give it to anybody but Rene. Like, there's. But the other thing too is that, like, I'm not entirely, like, I wrote this today, I'm not entirely sure I trust Pekka Rene to just be good enough in game five like he was in game three. Like, I mean, he's super streaky, and, you know, the Predators held them without a shot for 37 minutes in game one, and he found a way to lose it. I don't necessarily, because I kept thinking about Roberto Luongo in 2011, where games one and two he was just lights out against the Bruins, and then he went to Boston and first of all, he lit up eight goals in game three of that series. I totally forgot that he was in net for all eight goals, and Alain Vigneault just left him out there, just hung him out to dry. I thought for sure they brought in Corey Schneider in all three games in Boston, but they left him in there for all eight goals. Game four, same thing, he got pulled. Then he came back for game six and got pulled after like 9 minutes of that game. So it's either Pekka Rinne has figured it out, the Predators will be plenty good enough in front of him again where all he has to do is just stop 24 of 26 and they'll win 3-2 or 4-2, or he's going to be that Roberto Luongo goalie on the road to the Stanley Cup final that just completely screws his team.
And you kind of feel like,
I don't know what he's
going to
be.
The first goal, Matt. I mean, I know we always talk about how much first goal matters, but, like, because in game two, right, like he seemed like he was fine, and then that first goal was so bad, and it was just like, all right, that's it. So, I'm not sold, but I don't see a way that the Predators win the series without him being good. Like, I feel like we're back to, if the Predators win, he's the Conn Smythe because I can't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, unless I guess, yeah, we, every now and then, like in a series, you get that one wacky like 6-5 game out of nowhere. And these two teams seem like they'd be teams that could play that kind of game, but I don't know. I guess we'll see. And yeah, if it's Pittsburgh, it's so we're basically down to probably Rene versus Gensel. So it's somebody who got pulled in game two and there was talk of him losing his job for game three versus a guy who was almost a healthy scratch for game one. These are our playoff MVPs.
Those are the two guys that have been the absolute best. It's funny, too, because Freddie Gaudreau has now the same amount of goals in the cup final as Jake Gensel. So maybe Freddie Gaudreau is the maybe like backup to Pekka Rinne. Like if Gaudreau has like two goals in game five and they win 4-3, maybe he becomes the Conn Smythe based on his cup final. Who knows?
Who knows?
Freddie Gaudreau, he's Canadian, right? That sounds Canadian. Frederick Gaudreau.
It sounds Canadian enough.
Yeah. you can pass it
he
off.
He might be one of these like – he could be one of these like American – fake friend like Guy Hebert played his entire career
or Pierre
as Guy Hebert, and then we found out Guy Hebert was actually Guy Hibbert and he was American and like was not remotely French, and he was just like, yeah, they called me that on the first day and I couldn't bring myself to correct them, so fans are chanting Guy at this guy and it's not his name. That could be it. Let's look into that. Let's stop worrying about Frédéric Gauthier's lack of a locker room stall and focus on the big issues.
The fact that you just called him Frédéric Gauthier means you think he's Canadian.
In fact, I'm gonna look it up now as we talk and then pretend like I.
Yeah, good. Look it up. I'll vamp for us. The other thing too is it's either gonna be, you know, Rinne was the same as he was in 3 and 4. Preds go on to win the cup. Rinne is terrible in all the games in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wins game 7-6, and we're all very sad for Nashville and Pekka Rinne. Or maybe it's just the last change. Maybe Peter Laviolette getting the last change in Nashville means enough to the team where they can just prevent Crosby, Malkin from really doing the damage they can do in small doses when Mike Sullivan has the last change. So if the Predators win game 5, I do kind of feel like it's over. I don't know. Pittsburgh plays game 7 at home, but it just feels like they've been so overwhelmed for most of the 4 games. I don't give them much of a chance.
If Nashville wins game 5, everybody's going to be expecting such a party Sunday night for game 6 in Nashville. Like, doesn't that feel like one of those games where just when 100% of everyone thinks it's going to go a certain way, that it could go the other way, and now we're back for a game 7? I don't know. I don't want to get too far ahead.
Maybe.
Too far ahead of us, but
the Penguins, their D looks gassed. Like, they look like they can't skate by the third period. Like, by the way, Olli Mäntä, who I thought was getting better as the playoffs have gone on, has been brutal in this series. Brutal. And he's playing a ton of minutes. Unless the Penguins have one of those games where they score 4 goals on 19 shots, I think they're in trouble.
There should be like a playoff pool where you get to bet on which guys are secretly hurt and how badly. Because I feel like Olli Mäntä would be a high draft pick in that. Like he seems like one of those guys that like it's going to come back, or you're going to find out. Like, yeah, he broke both his ankles in round two, and he's been
Ron Hainsey actually legally died in game 3 against Ottawa, and they've been weakening at Bernie's him around the ice the whole time. You know who I think is hurt? I think PK Subban's hurt. Like he's never been like the most graceful skater. It looks like always like a challenge for him sometimes when he's going from a standstill to skating. I don't know what it is. Maybe the shot block last night becomes the thing that hurts. Like there's times that I'm watching him skate, I feel like he's not 100%.
That shot block last night, like the reaction to that, and then the fact that he was able to come back, like that to me maybe looks like a guy getting re-injured, like getting hit where he's already hurt.
Which, yeah, maybe.
You know, you can imagine hurts a lot more. It's still okay. So, yeah, I don't know. By the way, it just kind of came to me out of nowhere. But now that I think about it, I believe Frédéric Gaudreau is actually from Bromont, Quebec, and played his junior with the Drummondville and the Shawinigan teams in the queue.
Yeah, you have that little mental upstairs.
Now that I think about it,
how many goals would you say he scored in his second year junior, if you just had to
like,
top of your head
right off the top of my head, like his second full year? I would say 13 goals in 68 games. He was a minus 33. Yeah. I mean, you remember that, right? Because there was a lot of discussion over whether he had the two-way game.
No, because I remember he was minus 32 going into his last game, and people were like, is he gonna wind up minus 33? And I was like, I don't think so. But then he did. He was on the ice for an even strength goal against, and he ended up being minus 33. And that was a big moment.
That's when they took away his dressing room stall, and he hasn't earned it back ever since.
How has that happened, by the way? Hasn't he been with the team for long enough now? Like how does he not have, especially at home, how does he not have a home locker room?
On the road, sometimes it just happens. But yeah, like I want to know who has the stuff. Does Ryan Johansson still have are they doing that thing where it's like he's still on the team, so we haven't, like, we've left all his stuff in his stuff. Meanwhile, Gaudreau's like, guys, I need to put my stuff somewhere. Like, could I have like half of that? No? Okay. Could I have like Kevin Fiala's stall? No. Okay.
How about one of the better like desk chairs the coaches get in their office? Nope. You're gonna get one of those chairs they use at the VFW for dances.
Just drop it right there.
That's... By the way, speaking of Gaudreau, like I won't ever judge a fan base based on this, but like I thought it would have been a lot cooler if, when that horn blew 45 seconds after Gaudreau scored, but they didn't see it right away, if the crowd would have just immediately erupted. It would have been great if they had just known that was a goal, because like I'm just trained to do, like I've only had that happen one time while I was in the building, and I knew right away what it was because it was a much more obvious goal than the one that Gaudreau scored. But it would have been so much, because like the Predators bench right away, they put their arms up, they knew exactly what the horn meant, but the crowd was kind of like,
but I don't feel like fans in general know that happens. I know, like, when it happened last night, I saw a lot of confusion. Like, I feel like that could happen in Montreal or Chicago, and you probably would get similar. Like, I love when that happens.
Agreed.
Like, I love I call it the horn of doom. Like, when you just...
you're so negative. It should be the horn of joy.
But it's like, you know, and the thing that kills me is they still do the review. Like, they still let the referee look at the iPad. Like, dude, we stopped Stanley Cup game. We're pretty sure it's in. And I mean, I like when it happens, but it does, at the same time, it goes against my, one of the things I always wanted to see was like to have a play like that where the puck goes in and then just have play continue for like 8 minutes or have something like really interesting, like have somebody score like a milestone goal and like, you know, they bring their family down on the ice and then they're like, oh wait, nope, that didn't happen.
Actually, you know what? That actually happened in the 2000 Stanley Cup Final when Brett Hull scored the game-winning goal. And they never actually waved it off. Right. They let that goal
stand. But when Martin Gelinas scored the cup winner in 2000, they just let that go. Man, have you ever gone back and watched the clip of the 2004? Gelinas goal?
Yeah, I'm a believer that wasn't a goal because of that whatever
parallax,
that term is
the
for the angle.
But the thing is, if you ever get a chance, go back and watch the ABC broadcast, because they had the contract back then. Because like the play happens and nobody thinks it's a goal at the time. Like nobody reacts. There's no, you know, everyone thinks it's a great save, and they go to watch the replay of the save, and they see that the puck appears to be in, and they're like, oh my goodness, this might be a goal. This could be the Stanley Cup winning goal. And they start explaining that, you know, there's going to be a review and we're going to have a look at this and it's going to be close. And then, like, they just cut and they're dropping the puck. And the announcers are like, oh, no. Oh, no. They, you know, we can't, now it can't be reviewed. And, like, and then the league's like, oh, no, we totally reviewed it. We just didn't tell anyone we were doing it. We were completely on top of that. This league are such terrible liars.
But here's the good thing, though, is the NHL's competition committee got together in some place, somewhere nice, probably somewhere warm like Florida, I don't know. And they said, hey, guys, we need some new rules. We got to look at this game and figure out a way to make it better. We're the competition committee. What can we do to improve the game? And they sat down. They talked for probably hours, probably had some coffee brought in from the hotel staff. They probably had, you know, a free meal. And they had maybe like a PowerPoint presentation where, I don't know, Ron Hainsey got up and was just like, here's all the things that blah, blah, blah. And they came back with two changes. One of the changes makes sense to me. It's the icing rule where after an icing, you can't call timeout anymore. That's the rule they want to get changed. It's not necessarily changed yet. And the second rule is so freaking stupid that I can't even process that it was ever a problem. I've never heard anybody talk about this ever about this rule. And I can, what is it again? It's if you hit the puck with a high stick while
you're on the power play and they are in the offensive
zone. Right, power play.
and they hit, they touch the puck with a high stick and the play's blown dead, the faceoff will now be held in the closest faceoff circle in the neutral zone. At which point, every single hockey fan who hears that goes, where was it held before? Like, are we making it closer or further away? Nobody knows, because this is, nobody has any recollection of this ever happened. This is the classic case where, like, it happened one time, and some GM got cranky about it, and was like, that's it. I am going to get this rule changed. This will be, and then probably did a whole presentation. Everyone was like, oh, okay, sure, fine.
Just stop talking about it. We'll do it.
So they basically agreed to the timeout after icings that everyone kind of already liked and agreed on. And then this other one that they couldn't have talked about for more than 3 minutes. And then after that, roughly probably 10 minutes into the meeting, they looked around and said, is there anything else that we could even consider changing about this game? They're just the competition committee. They can't change rules.
Right.
They can just recommend, like, hey, everyone, maybe we should think about this going forward. Is there, can anybody come up with anything else that could use an improvement? Any ideas? Let's just spitball here.
Just shout them out.
And their conclusion, and I quote, they were satisfied that no additional changes would be necessary or appropriate at this time.
Now, I understand that just because the competition committee says they want to change some stuff, you know, it's got to go through the Board of Governors, it's got to go through all these channels, but I'm not the biggest NBA fan, but the NBA, whatever they see, and the NFL is kind of the same way too. Whenever they have a problem, they usually get to it in a fair amount of time. Like, in the NBA, there was always a problem in the last 2 minutes of games where balls were going out of bounds. Like, two guys would reach for it, and they weren't sure. They'd be just like, Celtics ball. And you watch a replay, and it's like, oh, my God, that's actually the Wizards ball. And they couldn't change it. Then they said, hey, last 2 minutes, those plays are always reviewable. And, like, it makes the last 2 minutes take an hour and a half instead of an hour and 15 minutes, but they do it. NFL, you know, like we've talked about before, you know, the Patriots won a Super Bowl by having Ty Law mug Marvin Harrison for 2 hours in a game. They were like, yeah, enough of that. We're not going to do that next season. Celebrations, even now in the NFL, you can dance again. You can't twerk, which I think is crap, because if you can twerk, you should be able to do it. I have no butt. I can't twerk, but I would if I could. They said, you know what? Go ahead. You can do that right away. Like, those aren't really, like, changes that are going to make the game better. Like, yeah, sure, I want to see Antonio Brown shake it. I'm not saying I don't. But it's still, it makes the game more fun for the fans, which is what you should be doing with your sport. And hockey is just like, we got to get that faceoff outside the offensive zone for high sticks.
I'm not familiar with those two words.
How?
Fun and fans. I don't.
Oh,
just,
man.
And just in case people are wondering, because I'm looking at it right now, the competition committee is made up of the following. It's chaired by Colin Campbell, notorious old school guy.
Is.
Matthew Schneider, longtime defenseman, and it's represented. The players are David Backes, so, you know, hard nosed forward. Mike Camilleri, veteran forward. Corey Schneider, goaltender. Daniel Winnick, checking forward. Ron Hainsey, defensive defenseman. And then some GMs and some and Barry Trotz and Ken Hitchcock, probably the number one defensive coach in the league. Just in case you're wondering, I know you're probably assuming that I skipped over like Sidney Crosby or Alexander Ovechkin or Connor McDavid or somebody like that. Eric Karlsson, no. So just in case you're wondering where this is coming from, I guess if you're a third line guy who likes to bang and crash, or you're a goaltender, it's all good. It would be completely inappropriate to suggest otherwise. Everything else is working perfectly, and you know, as we heard from Gary Bettman last week at the State of the Union, it's all good. The thumbs up to the NHL. They have achieved sporting perfection.
Is there any other sport that caters to the third line, fourth line, bottom pairing grinders like the way the NHL does? Like, any other sport? Is there any other sport that would ever do anything like this?
I'm trying to picture, like, baseball tuning its rules for, like, grizzled left-handed relievers who come in, get two outs in the seventh inning, or, like, utility infielders are the guys who who get to make the rules. But
bunts now count the same as home runs. If you bunt and get on first base, that's an automatic home run. That's what the fans want to see, is more bunting.
So maybe next year, or maybe this year, because we still have two or three games for something ridiculously embarrassing to happen, which is the only way that the NHL actually changes anything. So maybe we'll get that offside rule that wipes out a cup-winning goal, and then the rule will be gone.
You know, but the competition committee probably wouldn't be the ones that would say call more penalties. I feel like that would probably have to come, like last night, by the time you hear this, in game four, right off the bat, Harry Zolnarczyk absolutely runs Olli Mäta from behind out by the blue line. The Penguins, like, Mäta has the puck, it's in the attacking zone, it's like out near the blue line, and he turns a little bit, but it's a hit from behind for sure. Just, and like, they showed the replay later, like when they were going to commercial break, it's like first period in the books, and they show all that, like the big highlights, and they showed the Zolnarczyk hit. Like, Mata's face goes right into the dasher. Like, he hits him from behind so hard, and it's just like, no call. I feel like if they just went to the referees and said, guys, don't worry about affecting the outcome of the game, call penalties, everything would open up. There'd be more power plays. There'd be more free skating. That would do a lot. That would do a lot for the game.
It would, but the problem is, like, you're right. I don't think that's a competition committee. I think that's a GM thing. So you got 30 GMs.
Yeah.
If as soon as you start calling it like that, on the first night, half the GMs are going to lose and blame the new rules. So now half of them hate it. The next night, half of the other half are going to lose. And, like, immediately you've got three quarters of the league that doesn't like that you change something. So, I don't know.
But they like the offside rule. That can do the same exact thing. That's pretty much a 15 and 15.
I will tell you right now, when I get my time machine working, forget going back and killing baby Hitler. I'm going to go back and stop Matt Duchene from being 3 feet offside in that one. I'm just going to show up at the game. I'm going to be like, Matt, you can't play tonight.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And if you do play, can you please just be very careful around it? And he'll be like, why? I'll be like, the future depends on it. And if you do go offside, Matt, and they don't call it, just stop play. Can you miss the net? Just shoot it wide, please.
And that was against Pekka-Rinne too, wasn't it?
I didn't know that, but all right. Yeah. So
I remember Barry Trotz being super pissed off on the. I think Rinne was in that. Maybe it was somebody else, but it was the Predators for sure.
So Pekka-Rinne ruins everything, is what we're saying.
Matt, I'm here from the future. Oh, what's it like in the future?
You don't want to know.
Just dump the puck in the corner when you know you're offside. Yeah. Don't go top shelf. Just trust me. And everything's good, though. Yeah, the world's not run by a lunatic through Twitter. We're all good.
It's fine.
Oh, man. Other than that, yeah, we have Snapchat. People like the Snapchat. You'll love the Snapchat when you see it.
Boy.
Oh, man. Speaking of annoying things that have irked me, I'll be honest. I don't really know if this irked me, because I don't know if I really paid too much attention to it. But the NHL tried to keep up the whole 100 years thing and revealed their top 10 teams of all time as voted on by the fans, which is, it's amazing how the NHL will not let they won't let fans pick the All-Star team, but they will let fans decide who the greatest teams are in the history of hockey and put it on an official list somewhere. And number one was, of course, some Oilers team from the 80s. It was awesome and had Gretzky and all those guys. But number two, and this is what bugs me about this list, is number two was the 1991-92 Penguins, right?
Or was it
the other team? 91-92 that finished the year with 87 points. Like, I mean, I understand Paul Coffey, Mario Lemieux, blah, 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 blah. You cannot be the best team of all time if you had 87 points in the regular season. You can't. I'm sorry. I don't care who was on your team that year. That's not the second best team in the history of hockey.
I'm with you. That's... Congratulations to the 21 teams in the NHL this year who had at least as many points as the second greatest team of all time. You're right. But you know what? I didn't mind the list. I thought the list, considering it was a fan vote, so, you know, like, I think you and I were both expecting it to be all Blackhawks and last year's Penguins and stuff like that. I feel like it wasn't terrible. It was a little heavy on the Oilers, probably a little light on the Islanders. I think you could argue the number one. I mean, you could make the argument that that 85 Oilers team wasn't even their best team, that they had one or two others in as part of the dynasty that were better.
Yeah, Gretzky said that team 2 years later was better.
So, I mean, that's...
Good job, fans.
But, you know, it's close. I mean, God knows, this was the least disastrous thing that anyone has voted on in the last year. This was, I feel like we all dodged a bullet on this one. I'm grading on a curve, but I'm okay with, two Red Wings teams made it. And of course, nobody from before the late 70s Canadians, but that's, if you're doing a fan vote, I think going back 40 years is about the best you can hope for. So I was okay with it.
It's annoying to see that the Penguins are that high just because that's just what fans think about those Penguins teams from back then. But right, there's no contract bonuses that are dependent on this. You know what I mean? Like there's Mike Krzyzewski isn't going to get screwed out of a bonus because one of his teams wasn't in the top 10.
I wonder if the fans asked if they could split their vote. Could we have like the 77 Habs and the 83 Islanders? Would that be possible? No.
Make a choice, people. Just pick a guy.
Oh, man.
Stop hedging. But also that was the other thing too about the pregame four stuff was they had like a press conference with Gretzky and Coffey, and then of course, as you would completely expect to happen during a press conference like that at 7 o'clock, 1 hour before the game, is Charles Barkley just rolls into the press conference and is like, "Hey, what's going on? I'm Charles Barkley. I can do whatever I want. I can just come over here and sit down and talk. Who's got questions?" And suddenly game four became like Charles Barkley night. He was on all the intermission shows. He was everywhere. And of course,
hockey fans love more than anyone who's a hockey fan being uncritically positive about hockey.
Like when he actually said the words, I don't know if he just said the same thing with Scott Oak on CBC, but on NBC, he actually said the NBA playoffs have been bad. The Stanley Cup playoffs have been great. And you could just hear millions of people ejaculate in front of their TVs because the famous basketball guy said basketball stinks, hockey rules. He is liking their sport, please.
Yep.
Is what he's doing. Which
pretty,
is fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that he likes it. I just hate that there's so much stock put into it. I just wish it would be like,
here's the other thing that's kind of weird, right? Is that Charles Barkley gets up and says hockey's been better than the NBA. I like hockey. And everybody says, that's great. Nashville Predator fans spent the last 4 or 5 days screaming, I like hockey, by the thousands, not only in the arena, but everywhere else around. And it feels like half the hockey world is like, shut up, guys. You don't get to do that. I don't even know what people are unhappy about, but I'm seeing this backlash to these Nashville fans.
Well, it started with that we dug up old stuff and we found like old Canadian writers from like 8 or 9 years ago saying that Nashville was never going to be a hockey market. And now everyone's like, look how great Nashville is. So there was backlash to that. Then there was backlash to saying how great fans are. And then there was backlash to the backlash about the backlash of saying how fans are.
Like, I don't even know what level we're on.
We're like below the snow level in Inception at this point. Like we're so far down that like time has stopped and like we can actually control the thoughts of people by whatever we say here. So if we agree with the first backlash, we'll get backlash to that. But if we agree with the second backlash, we'll get backlash to the backlash of the backlash.
And like a lot of it's coming from Pittsburgh, which is kind of like, really? You guys want to be throwing stones at, you guys want to be playing the you only became fans when your team was good card? Like, I like Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh's a good market now. I like their fans, but like, you guys were bankrupt and getting ready to move to Kansas City like a decade ago, so maybe ease up. Like,
Nashville didn't need a draft rigged in order for them to get a star player to stay where
like,
they
like I do so. You know, the whole thing with Nashville now, where like, I mean, it's been an amazing story. Like, there's no taking away from anything that's been going on, and I'm so glad that we get a game six just so that we get kind of that one more game down there. I do find it a little weird that so many people are taking victory laps now. Like, Nashville is now an unquestioned established hockey market. Because there's always this thing where whenever you question any market, you immediately, like, it always gets pulled out, like, well, look at their track record of success and winning, and if they don't have a track record of winning, you can't judge them. Like, you can't, if you suggest that maybe the Florida Panthers are struggling, immediately somebody will be like, well, they haven't won a playoff series in 21 years, so what would you expect? If you see, you know, Coyotes,
right.
You know, the, if you, you know, the Blue Jackets a few years ago, like, somebody will always say, like, you know, they hit the, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes. Oh, should we move them? Well, they haven't been in the playoffs in 8 years. So why would you think that? But
this is, it's true in every sport, though. Even like, even the Yankees around here, like, the Yankees the last handful of years, sure, haven't been that good. And, you know, they went from being a 4 million, like, people a year attendance team a year to, you know, open yeah. seats behind home plate.
I think
time.
It's a fair
so,
point, but it's kind of like, all right, if we're going to do that, then you can't turn around and say that the true judge of a market is when they're in the Stanley Cup final. Like, you can't sit there and say, well, if they're not winning, we can't judge them. But if they're in the final, that's the true value of the market. Because, I mean, if you need to be in the Stanley Cup final to be a great hockey market, then that's probably
right.
not a great bit. Like, I mean, have you, you've covered a bunch of finals. Have you ever been to one where, you know, the final two markets were not like, oh, wow, these guys are really loud and there's lots of fans?
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, there's never, I'm trying to think, like, of all the finals I've been to. Yeah, like, they're all pretty pumped up. There's always a party outside. There's always a, you know, festival atmosphere inside, especially, but the reason why I think the Predators get a little more credit is they were coming home down 2-0. And usually there's, like, that feeling of, like, mm-hmm. doom when your team comes home down 2-0. Like, I remember going out to L.A. when the Kings were up 2-0 on the Devils, and, like, they knew it was over. It was just this absolute celebratory atmosphere in the arena, and they won Game 3, and it was just a matter of when they clinched and everything. But, like, I give Nashville fans credit because, like, it would be very easy to have that doom and gloom vibe, especially and Pittsburgh scored first in Game mm-hmm. 3, if I'm
yep.
correct.
2 minutes
right?
in.
So. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Tons of credit to Preds fans.
Like, to be clear, it's not like the Predators have been a lousy market for years, and this is the first year that they're getting any traction. Like, they've been pretty solid for a few years now. I'm just saying, let's wait a couple years when they've gone out in the second round a couple years in a row, and let's see how much of this sticks. Because maybe it all does. Like, this could be exactly what we're hoping it is, which is the establishment of a new great hockey market that is going to stay that way for a long time. But, you know, I remember 2006 when people were, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes, and people were like, this is the loudest building in the NHL. These fans are crazy. And it just, you know,
yeah,
the combination of the team not following up the success and, you know, the organization, it didn't really lead anywhere.
But that's true of any market, like Chicago. I mean, everyone knows before 2008-09, the Chicago Blackhawks may have well not even existed in Chicago. They get Taves and Kane, they get Hossa, they go to the conference final, they win the cup, suddenly they're a hockey town again. I think there's very, very few markets where you can be bad and still have a really good packed house, like Boston.
And when you do, the fans get criticized for that, right? Like, that's like the Leafs get that all the time. Well, this is why the Leafs are no good, because they sell out every night. Well, so you're kind of stuck either way, right?
There's really no way to be a good hockey fan. Let's face it. No matter what you do, if you show up late, you should have been there earlier. If you show up early and you stay there when they're bad, you're dumb for being loyal. There's no way to win.
The only good hockey fan on the planet is Charles Barkley. The rest of us
best.
Are, the rest
best
of us
fan.
Are garbage.
By the way, did Scott Oak ask Barkley what he bet on that night? Because he for sure had money on that game.
Yeah.
I want to know, because like they didn't ask him
I
on NBC.
No, I didn't see him ask that. But
no.
Yeah,
he had the Preds for sure. He won money.
What one other thing that I saw this week that just made me laugh that I want to mention was because you know we're all caught up in the Stanley Cup final and rightly so, but we're like now 2 weeks away from the expansion draft. Like this thing is almost here. In fact, it starts. Expansion draft deadlines start on Monday. Like that's when the first round of buyouts and stuff like that. So like this thing is almost here, and Pierre LeBrun tweeted out a report where he said that the Vegas Golden Knights are going to start making trades soon, which they have to. You can't do it all the day before. Like they've got to start getting some of these deals in place about who they're going to take or not take or whatever else. And he said they're going to start making the deal soon. They may actually have already started making deals, but they won't announce them because they don't want to overshadow the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, that's nice. That's sweet.
Which is like, yeah. Like, thanks.
Oh, George.
Imagine
thanks,
that.
George.
Like, just, yeah, you and me on the podcast, just like, hey, who won game four last night? Ah, I don't know. I was too busy. It was overshadowed by the Golden Knights acquiring a fourth round draft pick from the Columbus Blue Jackets for future considerations. Oh, if only they...
Although it would be hilarious if George McPhee was like sitting on an Alex Ovechkin trade that he couldn't tell anybody about for like 4 days.
That would be good.
Just
and
driving
just drop
him
it
nuts.
Like an hour before game seven. There you go. Talk about Philip Forsberg now.
Welcome to Biscuits, episode 32. We are heading towards a game seven here, but right off the bat, we want to get
Let's
right
go
to
down
it.
The list.
Six round pick of the Carolina Hurricanes going to the Vegas Golden Knights. And Sean, you tell me what you think they're going to get there in round
45
six.
45 minutes of analysis later, and then, oh crap, right. also, PK Subban broke his leg while scoring the Stanley Cup winning goal.
And then limped around Montreal with the cup all night
with his mouthwash, which is somehow a story. I love that. Imagine being a fan of another sport and like having like the one hockey fan in your office. Like, did you hear about the crazy controversy that some hockey player? Like, no. What did he? Oh, well, you know, he got in this. He was mixing it up with a star player on the other team. Yeah. What did he? Did he attack him? Like, did he get arrested? Did he? Go into the studio and like cut a record, like just tearing the guy. No.
Even worse than that.
He walked into a building carrying some mouthwash. Like, why? Why did he do it? Well, it was like a bad breath thing. Oh, so he said the other guy had bad breath? No. He said that he himself had bad breath, but attributed that comment to the other guy who denied having said that. And that was the controversy.
Do you remember in basketball when I think it was Russell Westbrook had it said about him by Kevin Durant that like he liked to take pictures or something, like he was too into photography, and so he showed up to the arena. I'm probably getting this all wrong, but he showed up to the arena wearing like one of those like photographer AP vests they wear on the sidelines. Like that's I remember that, like, because that was funny. Like, that's a good thing PK Subban did. But like, I saw Ray Ferraro on Twitter was mad that was a thing. Like seriously, like if you're a casual fan or a hardcore fan, what do you want to hear about? Do you want to hear about constant updates involving Nick Bonino's feet, or do you want to hear Sidney Crosby deny that he said that PK Subban has bad breath?
Yeah, I get that, because people were like, "Why are we covering this?" Like, we're covering everything, guys. Like, it's
the final.
Like, there's people there cheering out like six or seven stories a day. Like, they're going to kind of talk about the weird fun stuff and also the important stuff. Like,
it's... like Arpin Basu from NHL.com last night wrote an entire story about a save. Like that's what they do at the cup final. Like, you focus on the interesting, awesome thing that happened, and then you just go into it full bore. And then one day we are going to figure this out and we're going to solve hockey. And it's going to start with getting the old people who hate fun stuff out of the game in every way. And I don't know how we're going to do it. I haven't figured that part out yet, but It's going to start with expansion draft news on the next podcast where we break down every single trade George McPhee made.
A 4-hour episode.
All right, let's do some questions, because we got to clear the room here. We got to get out of here on time today. I don't want to get yelled at by anybody. So somebody asked this question and I can't find it, but the question generally was, what did you make of Evgeny Malkin coming off the ice after game 3 and kind of flinching at the fan with his stick?
It was a flinch.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to hit him. It wasn't one of these things where, you know, somebody had to grab him or, you know, like, it was a fake, you know, made you flinch type thing you would do to your little brother. That didn't bother me.
That's all it was. Yeah, me neither. I that being blown up into a story would annoy me. PK Subban having said Sidney Crosby has bad breath. No. A-I-S-H. Like Chris Farley and Happy Gilmore when he said, or in Billy Madison when he says piece of H. Is that how you pronounce that? H? I don't know. She wants to know if you can do NHL players as DC superheroes / villains. So DC is the shitty comic books, like the Joker, Batman, the Boomerang guy in Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman. What do you got?
I got
anything?
I'm not
for this?
A comic book guy, so I don't. Yeah.
Why'd you pick DC? DC's
the bad ones that people don't like.
Yeah, DC is the one where Ben Affleck's Batman, and he says that if Superman is also a DC Superman. So Superman's obviously Jake Gensel because he can just do whatever he wants at any time and completely control the world. The Joker, boring, talks too much, doesn't really get anything done. Ryan Kessler, how about Ryan Kessler for the Joker? There you go. There you go. There's a couple answers. Sorry if I pronounced your name wrong. No, that's not a good question. Nope, that's not a good question. Nope, that's not a good question either. All right, Michael Tyler wants to know, if you bumped into Gary Bettman on the street, what would you do if you just encountered him somewhere? Like you're waiting for your coffee at Starbucks and you're both standing there waiting for the coffee. What would you say to him? What would you talk to him about?
People always ask this about Gary Bettman or other people. Like, what would you do if you were they expect the answer to be like, I would punch him. I would tackle him and I would probably go to jail, just go like, oh, is that Gary Bettman? And then go about my day. But I guess if you had a chance to talk, I would just want to know where he gets his fan feedback from. That would be my one question that I've always been curious to ask. But
yes,
being in the media, I actually could probably find a way to ask him that if I wanted to. So the whole running into him in the street thing is not quite as big a deal.
Wade Gulliver goes by Darth Wade on Twitter. He has two Vegas questions. The first one is, what is the over-under on the number of side deals?
Yeah.
So I guess that's those blackmail bribery deals. I don't think there's going to be as many as you think. I'll say four.
I'd say higher than that. I don't know what the exact number is, but I feel like if George McPhee's smart, he's gonna work a few of these. But I'd go over four, but I'd maybe set it at six or so.
All right. And he wants to know, if a zombie apocalypse starts in Vegas, does it stay in Vegas?
Get it?
Because whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I'm not looking
forward to devils in the details.
When the Knights start trading players or guys leave as free agents and everybody's just apparently things don't stay in Vegas because...
How about that Justin Bieber tweet last night where he's I don't have a favorite sports team. I just like good sports even though I don't understand them. Which is fine. But I saw so many quote tweets of that tweet with same... That's me. I'm Bieber too. I get it. We all want to make the same joke sometimes. It's fine. Devils in the Details says, will this Stanley Cup run mean Nashville will be a team we see on national television more?
I hope so, yeah. They should be. I mean, I guess you never... it's got to be. At least a little bit more. It can't all just based on market size and ratings. You got to market your team. This is something the NFL does well, right? The NFL had its best player for a decade in Indianapolis. So they found a way to get Indianapolis to be to be a good market.
And San Jose was on NBC a little bit more often this year when they went to the Cup final last year. So
I think you could do it.
Yeah, maybe it was fun. It was funny too because during the game last night, Doc Emrick was just kind of rambling like he does, and he kind of accidentally pointed out that NBC wasn't at a game in Nashville all season. And I was like, wow, that's true. They weren't at not even one. Well, I guess Doc wasn't at any games. Maybe there was one game they were at, but I'll say the Predators are on TV at least on NBC or NBCSN at least five times next year. Derek Barguer. I don't know how to pronounce anyone's name. I have a weird last name, and yet I've never really figured out how to pronounce other people's last names. He wants to know, if you could trade one NBC broadcaster for Charles Barkley, do you trade Roenick, Pierre Maguire, or Mike Milbury?
See, I don't watch a lot of NBC, so this is more your wheelhouse. I don't understand why people don't like Roenick. It feels a little bit like a shtick, but I mean, he's one of the few hockey players who's ever had any kind of personality.
Like he's good when he's I wouldn't even say he's good, but he's better when he's out in the field doing shtick as opposed to standing there and giving coherent analysis.
Anytime. I gotta be honest, Pierre doesn't annoy me as much as he seems to annoy everyone else.
Wow, that's amazing. Is that your pacemaker?
Yeah, that's my phone. I actually gotta take this. Guys, give me 2 minutes.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for reading. Thanks for being loyal readers to the podcast. We will probably, almost definitely, be back at the usual Friday time next week because Game 6 is... Actually, we could be back at a different time, but probably not. I don't know. Who the heck knows? It's a podcast. It could show up at any time because Game 6 is Sunday and then Game 7 is Wednesday. So if it goes 7, we'll be back at the usual time. If it goes shorter, who the heck knows? Life is a mystery, and it's full of very, very many rich surprises around the corners, and we may be behind one of those corners at some point. Go onto the websites that we write for, including vice.com/sports. Is that the thing? I don't know. Slash Dave Lozo? I have no idea. And go find the stuff that I write and the stuff Sean writes. And thanks to Tim Barnes, who's going on vacation. He's going to California. He's going to go out there and not think about hockey podcasts or any podcasts at all for a good solid week. Good for him. And how about you, Sean? You excited for this? Who's winning the series, by the way? Should we at least say that before
you know
we
what? I'm sticking with Nashville. I picked them at the start, and I was doing a thing this morning, and somebody asked me, how do the Penguins get back on track? And I was like, I'm not convinced the Penguins have been on track yet in this series. Like they, I feel like this series is closer than we think to being, if not over, being like a 3-1 Nashville lead. So it's it's no sure thing, but I'm leaning Nashville, and yeah, then by the next time people hear our voices, we will know, and the season will be over. This is our last podcast, our last mid-season podcast for this year.
All right, I'll stick with Penguins in 7 because I don't want to change, even though I should, but whatever. So go on the iTunes and leave us some ratings and stuff, because that makes us look better, as we always talk about. It's all about the screenshot. It's all about letting you know where we get ranked as high as we get during the week, because it makes us look good and makes our bosses want to give us money and stuff, and that's what we like. So thanks for that, and keep the questions coming. Good questions this week, and sorry if I mispronounced your name.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.